Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about viruses and how all of us are pretty much walking around with a low-grade viral infection of one or the other type of item. And maybe we know it, maybe we don't know it. But what's happening is these viruses are just hanging out, waiting for the time to rear their ugly heads. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast today is because it seems like in my office, I'm getting a resurgence of every single person coming in is having lymph node swelling in their neck. And they've got these lumps in their neck and it's freaking them out and they want to know what the heck's going on. And of course, we first go to the lab, right? Because we got to figure out, are they, you know, do they have cancer? What's going on? What's happening in their system? And so, of course, I'm always going to run the general labs, and usually what ends up coming back is that they don't have cancer, at least at the first look. White blood cells look okay, red blood cells look okay sometimes, based on the patient, of course. But then the biggie that I've been running is something called chronic Epstein-Barr virus titers. And what I'm looking for is to see if someone has a reactivation of mono. Epstein-Barr is the fancy term for mono. A lot of us know it as the kissing disease that perhaps maybe we had when we were in, you know, junior, senior year of high school, or perhaps the beginning stages of college. A lot of us might remember having mono, but some of us don't. I actually never had mono. I don't remember having it at all. Maybe I just wasn't kissing people enough, or they weren't wanting to kiss me. I was kind of a dork in high school, so that makes perfect sense in my book. But all joking aside, a lot of us are exposed to mono, and we don't have to be kissing. It's in a lot of different body fluids such as saliva. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us share drinks with other folks. And that's another way to get these kind of things. So not to gross you out today, but I want to talk about this because I keep seeing this happening over and over and over again, that my patients end up coming up with all kinds of viruses that are being reactivated. So what are these viruses? We have herpes viruses, so HSV1, so this is the one that's typically tied into being the above the belt herpes infection, so cold sores. But I will tell you that a lot of the herpes virus 1, so HSV1, has been showing up below the belt too. So it kind of crosses back and forth. So just something to think about there. Now, herpes virus 2 is also something that we think about, the one we're like, ooh, I don't want that. That's below the belt. But guess what? You know what? At this point, a lot of the population of the world has HSV 1 and 2. And in fact, according to the PLOS 1 study, so I don't know if you're familiar with this, but PLOS 1 is a huge survey study, and they even have a group journal now where they talk about all of their results. And in 2012, they put out a lot of data on the world's viral infections. And so, for example, 67% of people under 50 have herpes simplex virus 1, so HSV-1. So this is what we associate with the cold sore, but I'll be honest with you, I see a lot of it happening below the belt too. So keep that in mind. Now, in terms of herpes simplex virus 2, so HSV-2, 11.3% of people under 50, and so I'm talking worldwide here, have HSV-2, which seems like a lot lower than the HSV-1 number, but that is because a lot of the herpes simplex virus 1 is actually showing up below the belt, and it's 1, not 2. Now, just for your random information, or if you like to geek out like me, Africa, Asia, and the East Pacific, these are the areas of the highest incidence of herpes virus infections. So something to keep in mind when traveling. Just note that. Put that in the back of your mind. Now, that's herpes. Now, varicella zoster virus. So this is the shingles and chickenpox virus. Essentially, 95% of us globally are infected over our lifetime. That's why we have vaccines for this. Now, unfortunately, I had to go to a chickenpox party. That was fun. Totally remember it. It was a major blowout for me. It's great. Have some great scars to show for that. Lovely. Thanks, Mom. But chickenpox, you know, is what turns into the shingles, of course. And it doesn't really turn into it. It's the same darn virus. It's just the name for it when we get older. It's the older version. They go from chickens to shingles. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. But anyway, it does go from chickenpox to being called the shingles. And it is the same virus, so keep that in mind. But all of us harbor this virus. It hangs out in our nervous system, and in particular hangs out in your spinal nerves or your cranial nerves. So that's why sometimes people get it in their eye, which is horrible. I couldn't imagine that. Or you get it on one side of your body coming out kind of in a line, and it's coming from your spinal nerve, so it hangs out in the spine. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, how can I have a virus that just hangs out? Doesn't my body kill it? Why doesn't my body kill it? Well, viruses are tricky little buggers, and that's where we're at right now with a lot of trying to create vaccines, trying to figure out what to do with viruses, because they're smart. They're intelligent little buggers, and they can hijack our cells. They can get into our nucleus, which is where we make our own DNA, so we can help to repair our other, you know, make new cells and things of that nature and repair our body. Well, these viruses can get in there and use our cells to make their DNA so they can make themselves stronger by using us. That sucks. But it does happen, and that is why the chickenpox, aka shingles virus, same thing, varicella zoster, hangs out. And it just likes to rear its ugly head when we become immune compromised. And the whole point of this podcast, by the way, if you're wondering where the heck is she going with this today, is I want to tell everybody all about what things we're doing to ourselves to provoke the release of these viruses. And I've got a patient who gave me a shout out and said, I want to hear more about how to keep viruses in check. So yes, this is for you. You know who you are. And basically, like I said before, this whole podcast, once I get through my basics here and telling you guys about the viruses I see quite often, is about why they come back out, why they reactivate, what the heck is going on, and connections to these reactivations and what they could mean for you in the future. Not to scare you, but just to give you the heads up, because that's what I'm all about here, public service announcements. All right, so we talked about the herpes virus, we talked about the shingles and the chickenpox virus. Now we're going on to the biggie that I keep seeing over and over and over again reactivating. It's called Epstein-Barr virus. 100% of the global population in developing countries will have this virus in their system by age 4. That's pretty trippy, because Epstein-Barr virus hijacks your immune system like no other. It causes extreme fatigue, lymph node swelling, enlargement of your spleen. It's not a cool virus. If you've had mono, or you remember as a teenager or in your early 20s in college, getting this virus is no joke. Now, it's also estimated by the same plus one study that came out in 2012. Now, granted, it's a little older data, but that's when they did the last survey on this, that 25 to 50% of individuals in the United States of low socioeconomic status also had the Epstein-Barr virus in their system. Now, why low socioeconomic status? It's because of close contact, poor hygiene, things of that nature. Oftentimes sharing utensils, not washing them, sharing cups, things of that nature. That's why it is so important. Don't share drinks with your friends. Stop doing it. Just keep your bugs to yourself in this case, really. And especially if you do notice that you have chronic lymph node swelling in your neck, this is a big deal. Likely you probably do have a little bit of Epstein-Barr or some other virus that you are not fully clearing. So just to get a little geeky on you for a second, this Epstein-Barr thing, the symptoms are a triad. And really when it's most active, you're going to have a fever, you're going to have tonsil pain. So you're going to have tonsillar pain, you're going to have pharyngitis. So meaning you're going to have inflammation of your throat, right? So your throat's going to be a little swollen, scratchy, red, and you're going to have a fever and you're going to have lymph node swelling. In particular with acute cases of mono, this is in the neck, this is in the back of the like base of the skull area, the spleen might be enlarged. This individual is going to have some seriously large lymph nodes. They're going to be huge swollen. Whereas with reactivation, I find that the lymph nodes tend to swell a little bit, but the lymphatic system backs up. So this person ends up with swelling in the face, swelling underneath their eyes, so puffy eyes. They might even end up with chronic swelling of their arms and legs, and maybe even notice that it fluxes from time frame to time frame. So there's kind of like an upswing and a downswing. So it might be cyclical. So something to think about. And ladies in particular, you might notice that you become more puffy around your period, which could, yes, be related to hormones. But if it's related to puffiness and lymph node swelling, your immune system is compromised when you're on your period, because your body's busy doing other things. You might notice that you have a cyclical pattern here. That could be that you have a reactivation of Epstein-Barr, especially if you're noticing extreme fatigue. So I'm talking about if you struggle to get through the day, and maybe your doctor's tested your thyroid and everything's coming back normal, and your doc's like, yeah, I don't know why you're so tired, you know? It must be stress. Well, yes, we'll talk about that, but this is something that I'm seeing happening over and over and over again with folks who are in their mid to late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, etc. And it's related to extreme fatigue. And we tend to try to figure out why is this person completely crashing? All of their labs are coming back normal. They look, in terms of laboratory analysis, like a normal individual. They shouldn't be this extremely tired. They shouldn't have this much body ache. They shouldn't have this much lymph node swelling. And when we go dive deeper, we find that they either have the Epstein-Barr virus, which is, by the way, a herpes virus family virus. So we'll find that. Or we'll find something else called cytomegalovirus. And just for some tidbits on cytomegalovirus, this is another virus that hangs out. It's very similar to the Epstein-Barr virus. It causes sore throat, fever, fatigue, swollen glands. Also transmitted via saliva and body fluids. But this guy also is one of these viruses that we get exposed to sometime in life. And with an estimate of a global infection, about 50% of those over 40 actually have cytomegalovirus just hanging out, waiting for its time to rear its ugly head. So here we have two major viruses, the Epstein-Barr virus and cytomegalovirus, that a lot of us have no freaking clue that we even have floating around in our system. We didn't have an active infection. We didn't have an episode like one typical to mono where you're knocked out for a whole month at home, extremely tired, big lymph nodes, sore throat, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a lot of people that have reactivation of these viruses, or I should say just activation of these viruses, because they never had an initial infection, and they're walking around extremely fatigued, extremely tired, and they have no idea why. They're gaining weight, their metabolism's crashing, they're losing hair, they're completely swollen. And so a lot of these folks start to lose hope as to like, what the heck's going on? Well, It's because the immune system is completely compromised because it's trying to fight these viruses, beat them back. And in the process of beating those viruses back, it's also trying to deal with a leaky gut. So too much food getting across into the bloodstream that shouldn't be there. So immune reactions. It's dealing with the chemicals in the environment. It's dealing with stress. So this is a big deal. So what the heck do we do about this? Well, a couple different things. And I want to get back to viruses for a moment to kind of explain how they hang out, how they stay what's called latent, meaning they're not in active replication. They're not actively hijacking your cells and creating DNA. And let's go through that first, and then we'll jump into how this affects you. Because I think it's important for a lot of people to know that while you might not have had a overt exposure to these viruses that I've noted, you might actually have them in your system just waiting to rear their ugly head. Or if you're experiencing extreme fatigue and you're having difficulty with focus, you're having difficulty with dizziness, all kinds of different random symptoms and that go along with chronic lymph node swelling, you might have a virus reactivation. So let's go into viruses for a second. So viruses have two states. Active, where they're actively hijacking your cells to create their own DNA. And there's latent, meaning they're not actively hijacking your cells. They're just kind of hanging on. They're just there, no big deal. Now, in labs, you can detect whether viruses are active versus just hanging out because we have markers to test this. We can look for herpes virus if we have that in the system at all. And we can look at titers, so viral titers, how much load, so we can look at titers if we have it to see if we have been exposed to the virus. And then we can look at viral load, so how much replication is actually happening of these particular viruses. Now, we do it in different ways, and I'm simplifying this a little bit because if you really got nitpicky, there's some technicalities in what I just said, but for the sake of this podcast, we're going to keep it simple. Now, if you're wondering if you have herpes virus 1 or 2, so herpes simplex virus 1, herpes simplex virus 2, you can get a test to look for the antibodies to those two viruses, and you can get a test to look at how active the system it is in your system, which is kind of cool. Now, herpes virus 1 and 2, they live in your nerve cells, close to the spine, just hanging out, waiting for whenever your immune system just tanks just enough for them to flip a switch. Basically, it's a signaling protein. And what I'm going to talk about later on in this podcast is certain types of herbs that can help to interfere with the signaling proteins of the herpes virus and Epstein-Barr virus. So herpes virus lives in the nerve cells. So does the shingles and chickenpox virus. They're nerve cell related viruses. Epstein-Barr virus, that lives in your white blood cells. And so in particular, it hangs out in your B cells. And your B cells are part of your immune system response. So if your immune system is overactive because you have leaky gut, meaning you have food particles getting across in the bloodstream and you're creating immune system reactions to food that particles that shouldn't be in your bloodstream, you're going to have an overactive immune system. Or say you're eating too high of histamine foods, like tomatoes, you're hitting up wine hardcore, you're getting the chocolate and you're doing your deli meats, so your prosciuttos and things of that nature. Maybe you like bacon, whatever it may be, high histamine foods will create an immune system response. And they're pretty trendy, right? They're appetizers, they're treats, they're whatnot. Something to keep in mind. Fermented foods also are high in histamines. So the sauerkrauts and the kimchis and the kefirs and kombuchas, these are high histamine response foods that can provoke a latent virus to jump out of your system. Nuts, high histamine. A lot of people are on the paleo and the low carb gigs. And unfortunately, that can also provoke a little bit of the Epstein-Barr virus to jump out of the B cells and really start replicating. Now, another big thing to think about is our environment. we have a toxic environment. We have Franken food. Our body has to deal with all these different things. And so our immune system is already overactive. Combine that with stress, and now it makes sense why the Epstein-Barr virus might also be overactive and chronic and become reactivated. It boils down to someone basically overloading their system, whether they want to or not, with agents that are going to provoke the immune system to work harder. Anything that provokes the immune system to work harder is going to have your Epstein-Barr virus jumping out. Another thing is mold. I live in Washington State, and there is a lot of mold. It's wet here. It's damp. It's a great place for mold to live, and a lot of homes have mold damage, and a lot of people have issues with mold. And this is another reason why I think that we're seeing more reactivation of Epstein-Barr as well. All right, so that's Epstein-Barr. It lives in the B cells. B cells are part of your immune system response. Overactive immune system equals quite possible that you could have an Epstein-Barr virus reactivation. Cytomegalovirus. So this guy hangs out in cells called myeloid cells. These are your precursor cells that make white blood cells. So it's kind of one step. It lives in the cells that are one step evolved or differentiated from your stem cells. Stem cells are your most basic cells that your body creates. And the myeloid cells are cells that are just one step away going, okay, we know that this cell is going to create blood cells. It's going to create white blood cells in particular. And so if CMV, cytomegalovirus, if that guy's hanging out in your precursor cells for all of your white blood cells, once again, just like Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus is a virus that's going to be provoked when the immune system is on high alert. Once again, another case for reducing all inflammatory factors. So anything that's going to provoke the immune system, reduce that in your universe. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us live in homes that have carpeting. A lot of us have rugs, things of that nature. Those guys, depending on if you've lived in your home a million years or if you're renting, you probably don't know all the history of what the heck's happened in your carpet, especially if you have an older home. I bought my home specifically because it had exposed fur, the old school, original hardwood flooring. And I've left it completely beat up because I want just the hardwood flooring. I can control the environment with that. Yes, I do have some rugs and I have a dog. And so these are things to think about in terms of your immune system. If your animal sleeps with you, and I totally admit, I have a golden retriever. I love him to death. He sleeps with us. But in exchange for that, I've got to clean my sheets regularly. And I know this sounds like duh stuff, but people don't do it. We clean our sheets twice a week, once a week on a bad week. And we clean our floors pretty often. Now, on the weeks that I don't clean as well, I think I do feel a little bit more stuffy. So something to put it out there, you know, just to keep in mind in terms of how those little things. Now, my last podcast was all about clutter. The more clutter you have in the house, the more dust you have in the house, the more dust mites you have, and the more possibility for histamine reactions that keep your immune system busy. So there's a lot of factors here in terms of all of the different things that you want to be paying attention to make sure that you're lowering all of the irritation aspect on your immune system. It goes all the way down to the water that you drink, even filtering your water, things of that nature. Now, I could go crazy with it, but for most of us, I'm going to be honest. Yes, it's our environment, but it's also how we deal with stress. Stress and food are probably the number one and two things that we need to take care of in terms of lowering our immune system overactiveness. So, all right. One of the big factors with all of these different viruses, but in particularly more connected to Epstein-Barr and cytomegalovirus, is that they're related to causing autoimmune disease. And the reason being is because if we have a body that's already inflamed because of frankenfood, because of stress, and it's in the immune system's on hyper alert, you might also have a body that doesn't know when to shut down the immune system reaction. And so it goes, it's overactive, and then it goes on self-attack. There's been such an upsurge in my practice in the last 2 to 3 years of me seeing folks with autoimmune conditions, skin conditions, rashes, those kind of things are out of control, where I didn't see this before. I'm also seeing, like I said when I started this podcast, a lot more of a resurgence of Epstein-Barr virus in particular, more than cytomegalo right now. But it makes me wonder if we need to go back to basics in terms of managing our stress in our environment to be able to help us to deal with these viruses. Because I think viruses, in a way, can live inside us and be okay. I mean, obviously, they can live inside of us and cause no overt symptoms. For example, herpes virus, once you got it, it's not going anywhere. It's going to hang out with you. Same thing with the shingles virus and the chickenpox virus. And there's plenty of people who have herpes virus infections that don't get cold sores, for example. There's plenty of people who have the shingles virus, so varicella, hanging out in their system, but they don't end up with shingles. What is the difference between those people and those that get chronic breakouts? That is the big question. And for me, that's my job as a naturopath to figure out with these folks what the heck is going on. So I dove in a little bit further to cellular signaling, so the messaging systems between viruses and their ability to set off their replication, so their ability to proliferate. And I'm finding that a lot of them go down a pathway of proliferation that's related to inflammation in the body. There's something called the NF-kappa-B pathway. And this NF-kappa-B pathway is associated with the inflammatory cascade, so when the body's inflamed. So what the heck do we have to do about this? Well, one of the things to think about is if we're going to be signaling cellular differentiation, so we're going to be signaling a virus to replicate when the body's inflamed, that means we've got to shut down the inflammation in the body, which isn't always as easy to do as one may think, but it's a matter of figuring out where the inflammation comes from. I have a lot of people in my practice who love to work out, love to run. And sometimes I personally think that they overdo it. They might be doing 2-a-day workouts. They might go lift in the morning and then go run 5-10 miles later on in the day. And they might do this 3 days a week. Combine that with a stressful job and eating some frankenfood because they run out of time to eat and fuel themselves properly. Now we've got an inflamed body. Another big thing here is slowing down to breathe and really convince your body that there's not a bear chasing you. None of us were born with manuals to figure out how to deal with stress. And unfortunately, I do believe that, like I mentioned before in this podcast, number one and two things that are killing us slowly, stress and frankenfood. And both of them cause inflammation. Stress is an inflammatory response, provokes inflammatory response in the body. We need to learn how to get our stress under control. If you are struggling with that, check out my podcast on the Muse. That's one of my favorite ways to work with it in terms of breathing. Because the most, hands down, the most effective way to put the brain into a state of calm is to take deep breaths. And research has shown between 5 and 10 being effective. I found 1 can be effective for a lot of people. So if you are a type of person who is a type A individual, you're a go-getter, you push it to the limits, you're working at your job, you're doing the best you can for X, Y, and Z, you know, you're taking care of the family, whatever it may be, and you're not taking care of yourself, you're inflaming yourself and you're setting yourself up for virus issues. And in particular, if you're fatigued now and you have chronic lymph node swelling and your throat tends to get swollen and scratchy and sore on and off, you probably have a virus that's reactivating itself. If you're getting to the point where you're struggling to get out of bed, wondering if you need thyroid medication because you're so tired, you might have a virus. So it's a big deal here. It's a huge deal. One of the other big factors that's connected with viruses being happy to live in the body and replicate is the lack of vitamin D. Now, interestingly enough, UVA and UVB light, so the rays that come out of the sun, those can trigger virus replication because they're considered stress. So, yes, getting out in the sunlight's good. Make sure you put on some zinc oxide and titanium dioxide-based sunblock. So slap that stuff on there. My favorite is the J-A-S-O-N, Jason, or however you say it, orange bottle, 14% zinc oxide, 2% titanium dioxide. Slap that stuff all over you. It's the best. But I digress. The UVA and UVB light can trigger viral replication because it's considered a stressor. So what I typically tell folks to do is I think we do need more time outside. I think we do need to go back to our roots, but we need to cover ourselves up. We need to put the sunblock on and take the vitamin D. On a basic level, if you live somewhere that you are exposed to a little bit more sunlight, probably 2000 IU a day is great. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, 10,000 IU a day. Sounds crazy. People might hear this and think I'm nuts, but 10,000 IU a day keeps the doctor away. Just saying. All right, so that's a whole nother podcast. Another big thing to think about is that when you push yourself to the limits with workouts, you will cause stress to your body and then you will inflame yourself. You're going to provoke yourself to have some viral replication going on. I know a lot of ladies who are trying to lose weight, trying to get in shape, and they're killing themselves to do it. It's what you put in your mouth. 80% of your success with your body and weight loss is what you put in your mouth. 20% is the workout. Do not kill yourself with workouts. I myself love to lift weights. I do CrossFit. Totally admit it that I do push myself to the limits. But I have a plan to work with de-inflaming myself. Turmeric, always in there. In particular, I use something called Immunotone and Inflammatone. Two different products by Designs for Health to help me with balancing my immune system when I feel like things are lowered, and Inflammatone after every workout. So look into that, Designs for Health, Inflammatone. They're not paying me. I just use it and think it's great. It's got turmeric in it, a lot of other herbs that help to de-inflame the body. Now, interestingly enough, I use an herb called magnolia bark in a product for stress-induced insomnia. It's magnolia bark and philodendron root. Those two work really great for calming the nervous system and getting us to sleep. That same herb, magnolia bark, has been found to inhibit viral replication. And in particular, it's inhibiting the pathway I was talking about, going down that line that creates inflammation in the body. So it inhibits that viral replication. And in particular, I've found that a lot of people think about a stressor on the body, insomnia. If you're not sleeping, you are going to be inflaming your body. It's not a good thing. You're going to be creating more free radicals, meaning that you need more antioxidants, which leads me to my next point. If you struggle with chronic fatigue, you have lymph node swelling, you need to be eating your vegetables. Yes, some fruits, but vegetables. I tell all my patients 5 to 6 cups a day. I don't care how you get it in. Blend it all up in one shot. Get it in because the vegetables make a huge difference. And I'm not talking about just carrots, peas, or corn. In fact, I'm talking about the dark leafy greens. I'm talking about cabbage, cauliflower, and broccoli, beets, things of that nature. More color, the better. Keep that in mind. That is a biggie, biggie, biggie. But sleep deprivation will allow the viruses to come out because sleep deprivation creates inflammation in the body. Now let's talk a little bit about the shingles virus for a second, because I think a lot of us are worried about that one popping out. And yes, there are vaccinations, but it's tricky as to what's in those vaccinations. I'm not going to go into that in this podcast, but just putting it out there. Now, the shingles virus hangs out in what's called the dorsal root ganglion or your cranial nerves. The dorsal root ganglion is just right next to your spine. It's just hanging out there chilling. And it gets promoted via a particular pathway called the ERK, E-R-K 1 and 2. It's a signaling cascade also provoked by inflammation. Another biggie that I found is that the reishi mushroom can help inhibit the promotion of the ERK1-2 pathway. So reishi mushroom, we know the mushrooms are great for boosting the immune system, but in particular, they're great for preventing virus replication. Anyone who knows that they have a herpes virus or they have the shingles virus hanging out in the body, you need reishi mushrooms, no matter what. Go grab some and get it in a capsule form. There's great products out there. New Chapter is one brand that has great items. There's a lot of them out there. So reishi mushroom, that's what you want. Now, the interesting component of this is that ERK1 and 2 is associated with a natural signaling cascade because it signals the nucleus, the center of our cell, to replicate. Now, it's provoked by inflammation, but it is a natural signaling cascade. So one of the things that I like to tell folks about here is if we're going to try to block a signaling cascade, would that stop our natural cell repair signaling? I don't know. And so if you do not know if you have the viruses that I've mentioned in this podcast in your system, I don't think you should be taking reishi mushroom on a regular basis. And this is something that I've kind of thought about with my patients too. I do like taking mushrooms when I'm getting sick because most of the time our upper respiratory infections and things of that nature are related to viruses, not bacteria. But I think it's important, just something out there in terms of a question as to, well, are we messing with things if we are constantly taking reishi mushrooms and other mushrooms too, shiitakes and those, the other ones, turkey tail, etc. So something to keep in mind. Now, another interesting component with the shingles virus is that it activates something called the P38 pathway. This is a pathway in making melanin. Melanin is our natural sunblock. This is what turns us darker when we go out in the sun. This is our suntan pathway. Think of it that way. And herpes viruses are activated by sunlight, like I mentioned before, and they are activated by the P38 pathway too, just like the shingles. Now, interestingly enough, sunblock, I just mentioned, is super key to use to help to keep that pathway from becoming triggered and stressed because sunlight, UVA, UVB is stress to the body. But a vitamin D supplement can help you. Now, some people can't tolerate a vitamin D supplement. One of the things to think about in terms of prevention of viral replication is to consider a happy light, an infrared light, or a red light. So I like to combine infrared and red light therapy. I talked about that in one of my podcasts. Check that out. That I'll go way into detail on it. I'm not going to go into it here. But the happy light, the infrared, and the red light are all really great for helping with your cells to get them to be happy and healthy, but they're not going to provoke pathways that are going to cause trouble for you. So one of the things that I like to think about in terms of infrared and red light, it de-inflames the body. And so if you're struggling with viral replication, infrared and red light can be absolutely huge for you. Happy lights, those guys, those help with waking you up in the morning and putting you to bed. And so what they're doing, you won't use them at night, but you'll use them in the morning to help with proper cortisol release to train your body that it's morning, wake up. And then at night, it helps to put it to bed because you're not going to be using the happy light at night. And so it's helping with cortisol regulation, which helps in turn with stress. And happy lights, you want to look for a 10,000 lux happy light. Verilux happy light tablet is what I use. It's my fave. It sits on my counter and I hang out with it 20 minutes every morning. But that's something to think about in terms of stress, but also something to think about in terms of helping your body with light therapy, but not provoking a pathway that you don't want to provoke. I'm not saying don't go outside. That's not what I'm saying. I think we all need fresh air, but you got to block yourself, sunblock, especially if you have herpes outbreaks, HSV1, for sure. If you get it on the lip, if you get it anywhere in terms of outbreaks on the face, or even down below, even though you're not tanning that area per se, I do think that it's one less stressor to the body. So don't go get sunburnt. Put your sunblock on and use red light infrared therapy to help with that. And use the happy light to help you wake up and go to bed at night to help with your sleep-wake cycles, because that reduces stress on the body when we have a routine of waking up and going to bed at the same time. All right, so in my research and working with folks, I've also found that there's a traditional herbal medicine that's typical in Korea. It's called Sanghwa Gold. And I might be saying this completely wrong. So if anyone out there knows how to say it better than me and is familiar with this, it's spelled S-S-A-N-G-H-W-A, Gold. Otherwise known as SHT for short, which is kind of funny. Makes me giggle every time I see it. This herbal complex, it's a typical winter drink in Korea in particular, can also help with inhibiting viral replication. It has peony in it. It has angelica, which is a blood-moving herb. It has astragalus. It has romania. It has licorice, cinnamon, ginger, and something called jujube in it. And these are all great herbs that boost the immune system, but at the same time also help to regulate it. And in particular, the one I like the most on this one is angelica. Or sorry, not angelica. I do like angelica for moving blood. But astragalus. Astragalus is a great herb for helping with the immune system. And it happens to be in a lot of the formulas that I recommend for patients. But they have a polysaccharide, which is a sugar. And it's amazing with helping to block triggers for Epstein-Barr and the herpes virus. So anyone who has herpes virus or Epstein-Barr issues, astragalus, great herb in that case. Another one that's a Chinese herb is called fo ti. Its common term is knotweed. It has some connections to kidney failure, so you have to be very careful in your dosing of it. I would recommend having a naturopathic doctor or acupuncturist who works with Chinese herbs work with you on that one. But know that it's out there, fo ti, and it is great for provoking the immune system to, not provoking, inhibiting the active response of the immune system. And so it can block Epstein-Barr virus and herpes virus replication. Poke root is another one. I love poke root. You have to be careful with the dosage because it can cause a little bit of nausea, but poke root has a 2-for-1 for you. It cleans your lymphatic system out and inhibits viral replication. And I'm going to talk about the lymphatic system in general because I do think that a lot of us struggle with a bogged down lymphatic system because of Frankenfood, because of chemical exposures. And that's a whole nother podcast in and of itself, but this is a biggie. There's also an antioxidant known as luteolin. It inhibits ZTA and RTA. These are the proteins that replicate with Epstein-Barr. Luteolin is commonly known as citrus bioflavonoids, citrus antioxidants if you want to get fancy. I typically use a product called DioVasc, D-I-O-V-A-S-C by Zymogen. It blocks histamine, excessive histamine reactions, but it also is a really great 2-for-1 in helping with viral replication and countering it. Now, another just basic here, because probably a lot of people that listen to this podcast are familiar with a lot of antiviral combinations that are out on the market and wondering why I haven't mentioned them yet. Don't worry, I probably will, hopefully. So my biggies are really magnesium and zinc as being the minerals, licorice root, astragalus, as I mentioned before, high antioxidants. I like people to eat their supplements. I don't like to push too much in terms of supplement, but there are some key ones. Turmeric is another biggie. You need it in supplement form though, because in the diet, it doesn't do as well as the isolated turmeric. So theracumin, BCM95 turmeric is what you're looking for. Berberines, these are extracts from golden seal, Oregon grape root. They're great for helping to regulate viral replication in the immune system. Olive leaf extract and lauricidin, which comes from Laurea ardentata, which is an herb that in particular has been known to help with inhibiting viral replication and in particular is used with Epstein-Barr over and over again. Lauric acid is the active component of that. A lot of people will also use humic acid with it to help to counter Epstein-Barr virus replications. Now, I have created for you, because I know I just throw out a lot of information and I don't expect anyone to take notes. There won't be a quiz later. Don't worry. I have created a handout for you on my website at drjkrausnd.com. In my resources section, you can find my go-to herbs for every single one of the viruses and kind of my bottom line on keeping the viruses in check. So I'm going to go through that right now. Number one, like I've mentioned before, stress reduction. Slow down. Slow down. If you are a go-getter, type A personality, save the world individual, all of my folks who work in nonprofits, this shout out is for you. Slow down. Breathe. You can't save the world unless you save yourself first. Just the same concept as being on the airplane, put the oxygen on yourself, worry about others later. Slow down, breathe, smell the roses, enjoy life a little bit more. Number two, eat clean, reduce chemical exposure. Huge things here. Stop the Frankenfood. Three, keep your gut healthy so it's not dealing so much with the immune system. It's not setting off the immune system. When I say keeping the gut healthy, look at how you digest food. If you have gas, you have bloating, you have acid reflux, your gut is not healthy. If you have constipation, diarrhea, we got problems here. So biggies with the gut. I like L-glutamine, GIN cap by Thorne. Those are my favorite two products for the gut. Yes, collagen peptides too. All of those are amazing to help keep the gut in check. Number four, cleaning out the lymphatic system regularly, because I think a lot of the reasons of viruses cause trouble with lymph node, chronic lymph node swelling, is because our lymphatic system, so this is the system that connects lymph node to lymph node, isn't cleared out. Lymphatic drainage massage, taking your brush or just using your hands and gently going from your face all the way down to your neck, arms, so start at your hands, go towards your chest. You want to move towards your chest. Google lymphatic drainage massage. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there that tell you just how to do it properly. It's huge. You want to do a little bit of lymphatic drainage. Also, celery, cranberries, hibiscus flower tea. These are three great immune system, they're immune system cleansers, but they're lymphatic system cleansers in particular. Poke root, like I mentioned before, and galium, which is otherwise known as cleavers. These are great cleaners of the lymphatic system. There are supplements out there too, but in particular, our lymphatic systems are bogged down. We need to clean them out. Dr. Morse, M-O-R-S-E, has great tonics online too. He's at drmorse.com. Check him out. But especially if you know you have cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus in particular, or if you're someone that has chronic lymph node swelling in your neck that bothers you, put some heat on it, do a little lymphatic drainage. Try to get lymphatic cleansing foods in your diet daily. I do celery and smoothies all the time, and I think it helps. So there you have it. Nerve health. So with the herpes virus and with the shingles virus, if you are chronic, so you have episodic flares of either shingles or herpes virus, you need to look at your status of your B vitamins, B12 in particular, magnesium also. My favorite put viruses in check formulas are a multivitamin that has zinc. In particular, I do like Twice Daily Multi by Designs for Health. Yes, I'm a Designs for Health kind of gal. So viruses and particular herbs that they like, they don't like them. Viruses, let's put it this way, herbs that like to kill down, put these viruses in check. So licorice, lemon balm, astragalus, those love to knock down herpes virus replication. So keep those guys in mind. You can also use licorice and lemon balm topically on any herpes virus outbreaks. There's some great creams and balms out there. Avoid nuts. High arginine foods in particular provoke herpes virus replication. So Google high arginine foods or look at my resource page on drjkrausnd.com and you can see what I recommend to avoid in that case. Also, same big thing with all of these is avoiding the high histamine foods, the kombuchas and things of that nature that are super trendy right now. Unfortunately, they do inflame the nervous system and your immune system. Histamine is a nervous system protein stimulator. Keep that in mind. So if your nervous system is overactive, you're stressed, you can't calm down, and you got a lot of histamines floating around in your system, guess what? You will have cyclical herpes virus and shingles virus replication going on because your nerves are irritated. All right. So that being said, another biggie is the shingles virus. It likes licorice. It also likes astragalus, just like the herpes virus. It likes reishi mushrooms. Same thing, avoiding the high arginine foods. Epstein-Barr virus. It likes monolaurin. Lauricidin is a powder, one of my favorite products for killing down the Epstein-Barr virus. Olive leaf extract, Diovasc by Zymogen, and then cleaning out your lymph. Just like I mentioned before with the celery, the hibiscus leaf, poke root, cleavers, those guys are great for clearing out your lymph. Check out Dr. Morse, M-O-R-S-E, apostrophe S, Morse's products. He's got some good stuff out there. Cytomegalovirus, turmeric, olive leaf, extract, astragalus, berberines. Those are huge for the cytomegalovirus. Also, the lymphatic drainage. Clear out your lymph. You'll feel a lot better. All right. So I have gone through everything in terms of the main viruses that I see. Now, granted, there's a ton more out there. I didn't even talk about HPV, so human papillomavirus that causes our warts. That is another sign of immune compromise. Stay tuned. I will do a podcast all about genital warts and regular plantar warts and all of those warts, because I think it's important for folks to know how these chronic viral infections do impact your immune system and what to do about it. So that being said, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. Check out my resources from this episode if you want to geek out further. Send me some comments on the website. Leave me a message. Send me questions. I love to hear from you guys. And thank you to my patient who gave me the shout out to do this podcast. Great idea. I think it's important for people to know a little bit more about all these viruses and how they impact our daily living. Okay, folks, hope you have a great day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.